Hello and welcome to Susana Leatawa, who is here for our Pacific discussion this morning, news discussion. Kia ora and welcome, Susana.
Kia ora, bula, talofa. Lovely to speak with you, Catherine.
Lovely to have you with us. Thank you. However, it's a painful story first up in some ways, isn't it? Painful memories with what is happening at the moment in the Solomons. And the first group of Defence Force personnel have left for Honiara. Just remind us what's happening, please, Susana.
Sure. Just to pick up on that, yes, they left our personnel. NZDF left yesterday, about 15 of them, and then our police and more NZDF will be leaving at the weekend. They're heading to Honiara. We haven't had any confirmation that they've landed, but we pretty much expect that they have. It's just that Honiara is 2 hours behind us. So we're expecting they've landed, but we haven't had that confirmed. They are the latest country, we are the latest country, to head into the Solomons to support the Royal Solomon Island Police Force in light of violent riots that started last Wednesday, a week ago. There was a protest. The opposition to the parliament, opposition to the Prime Minister, Manase Songavare, they were outside parliament buildings, and that protest turned violent. It led to more than 3 days of rioting, fires, looting, with the eastern part of Honiara severely damaged, and especially Chinatown in Honiara, which is the home of businesses for retail, also warehouses, especially warehouses that provide food. So coming back to New Zealand Defence Force, we have a long relationship with providing support in the Solomon Islands. It's known as RAMSI for short, the Regional Assistance Mission to the Solomon Islands. So to quell the rioting, to bring peace, the Australian Defence Force were the first to arrive last Friday, followed by Papua New Guinea, sent in police, followed by Fiji. Then a request came from the Prime Minister to our Foreign Affairs Minister and our government and our Prime Minister, both have spoken about this earlier this week, for New Zealand to come in and also provide support. So there we are.
RAMSI was there, of course, for a long time, for many years, as the country really tried to heal from the awful events in the 1990s and around the turn of the century. And is there a sense that perhaps this current situation is localised? Do we know what is driving it?
I think it's what you've pointed out is really valid, and it's one thing that from a news point of view, RNZ Pacific, we're really focused on ensuring that we're covering all the voices from the ground so that we don't get caught in the commentary, because it's very easy, external commentary, which has its own validity, is pointing out, well, there's been a shift from an allegiance to Taiwan to an allegiance of China. All of those things are in the mix, but this is definitely civil. And this is definitely connected with earlier conflicts and troubles. At the moment, there's a call for the resignation of the Prime Minister. A vote of no confidence has been tabled by the Leader of the Opposition, Matthew Wale. That is going to be debated on Monday. So from my perspective, I think that's a very significant timing, and therefore there is this regional support for maintaining stability in the city as we head into these next 3 to 4 days.
To Fiji, and it's opened its borders to vaccinated tourists the first time since March last year. And of course, Fiji has been through so much in this pandemic, a lot of loss of life. The significance of this reopening now and the readiness for it now?
Well, they have been preparing. And so, yes, let's say 2,000 tourists from specific countries, Australia and the United States, started landing on the 1st. So they've had 2 days of arrivals and some departures back. They've got a very, very elaborate system where tourists arrive and go straight to their accommodations. And those accommodations are pretty much bubbles, as we'd understand them. And so quarantine, isolation, all of those things are managed in that way. huge excitement in Nandi with the arrival of the first planes and people talking about the Buller spirit and everything flowing. So for a country that relies so heavily its economy on tourism, it's a major step forward. And then we had the news that we really focused on yesterday, but was sort of mentioned by the Health Secretary, Dr. James Fong, late at night, the night before, that there were actually, or are, some Fijians, they're Fijian nationals, who had arrived last week, and I'm sort of emphasising all of this because it's so easy to confuse it, but they arrived last week from states in Africa. They're not saying where. And as a result, they're quarantined because they've tested positive in Fiji. And now the waiting game for the genomic sequencing to see if, in fact, their COVID variant is Omicron. We don't know. But Fijian government and their tourism Fiji are saying that doesn't. If it is Omicron, we're ready for this and that's not going to change tourists arriving. So, yeah, interesting space. Australia is very, very, very enthusiastic, is an understatement. The Australian High Commissioner in Fiji says, you know, Fiji is the place of choice for Australians. It's the best place to come in the world. And the bookings, they're expected to be something like just up to 40,000 tourists. Most of them Australians are expected in December.
Of course, it's such a huge part of the economy for a number of Pacific countries, and it's, as you say, you think you're there, the vaccination rates have been rising, and then you get this new variant coming in and people are wondering what this is going to mean. But the message is very much we're opening up and we're carrying on to the tourists here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And also another interesting thing, which I hadn't really thought of, but I was hearing it coming through in the statements made by especially the Australian High Commissioner, the high rate of vaccination in Fiji is seen as a positive, and the country is marketing itself as a holiday destination place because it's got the 90%+ fully vaccinated population.
Hmm. Now, December 1st was a very big moment, 60 years since the Morning Star flag was raised by West Papuans.
Yes, I thought this was a good topic for us just to mention, albeit December 1st is a couple of days ago for us, but it was yesterday for other parts of the region. And it has been marked around the region. Back in 1961, the Morning Star flag was raised for the first time alongside the Netherlands flag as the former Dutch New Guinea was being prepared for independence. And it was short-lived. Indonesia then soon took control of Papua. And so the Morning Star flag is banned by local authorities in West Papua. Many people around the Pacific region, including here in Aotearoa, mark the 1st of December by very proactively raising the Morning Star flag. And so that happened here. Johnny Blades, one of RNZ Pacific's senior reporters, spoke with Dr. Emilani Case, and she spoke about the importance of that. It's a wonderful article and also interview on RNZ Pacific, our website, just to go into further. And she was just talking about reflecting on the role of other countries, not just Indonesia, and how the parts that they've played in the troubled history of West Papua, and also what needs to be done. And then picking up on that, we've got a story that we're running on RNZ Pacific this morning from Vanuatu, where the Shefa province have recognised Benny Wenda as the interim president of the United Liberation Movement of West Papua's provincial government. And it's called the ULMWP. They have a representative in Vanuatu who yesterday they had a very special ceremony for him and he received a chiefly title. The Secretary General of this Shefa province, Maurice Kolaran, he said that the destiny of the two Melanesian peoples, this is West Papua and Vanuatu, is joined. And he says until the people of West Papua are free, no one in Melanesia is free. So the spirit for this is really strong. And then in Papua New Guinea's government yesterday in Parliament, a prominent MP, Powers Parkop, he also raised on the floor of the Papua New Guinea Parliament that PNG is not doing enough and it needs to look at its policy on West Papua and do more to support West Papua.
Whaafatai, ngā mihi, and thank you, Susana Leotawa, our Pacific correspondent and, of course, RNZ Pacific's news editor.